Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is the gospel lesson just read, and we will focus on these words from Jesus. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You may be seated. Imagine with me for a minute that you have broken your arm and you need to go to the hospital. When you get there, the doctor takes a look at your arm. He does the x-rays. But then he just waves his hand over your arm and instantly it's healed. Wow, I've never seen that done before. Next, he produces a feast for you out of thin air, and he invites you to eat. Oh, I mean, you're probably thinking to yourself, this is too good to be true. But it's real. It's right there in front of you. And so you eat until you're satisfied. You know, you'd probably want to go and tell all your friends about this miracle-working doctor. But then he says something really strange. He says, you know, I've healed you and I've fed you, but I've only met your immediate physical needs. Tell you what, if you eat me, you'll live forever. What? You know, I could sort of go along with this before, but now this is just a little strange. No, actually, this is really weird. I think I'm going to leave now. I thought this doctor was here to give me everything that I needed, but it turns out he's just insane. Today's gospel text is the continuation of a long sermon from Jesus. We've been hearing parts of it over the last few weeks. Jesus had fed over 5,000 people with just a few barley loaves and two fish. And they had eaten until they were satisfied. The people were so excited about this miracle that they wanted to make Jesus their king. With a miracle-working king like that, no one would ever be hungry again. Life would be good. But instead, Jesus went away from there. But the people still wanted to follow. And Jesus corrected them. He said, "You are searching for physical bread. Bread that will not last. Instead, you must seek the true bread from heaven. I am the true bread from heaven." How can Jesus be the true bread from heaven, they wonder. He's only a man. We even know who his parents are. They're nothing special. But you see, these people had a question about Jesus. They needed to know, what kind of life does Jesus give? Sure, Jesus had physical life. He walked the earth just like any other human being. We hear in the Gospels about how he ate and drank. Just like any other human being, Jesus got tired. He needed to rest. When Lazarus, one of his good friends, died, Jesus wept. So Jesus certainly had physical life. He even had power over physical life. He could heal the sick. He could give hearing to the deaf and sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He could even raise the dead. But the people in today's text aren't asking whether Jesus can do these things. Instead, they want to know whether they could believe everything that Jesus said. In today's text, Jesus is making some pretty outlandish claims. He's claiming that he will give you eternal life. And in this text, there are two responses to Jesus' words. And most people responded by leaving. And this makes sense because Jesus' words are so outlandish. They're so crazy. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And he continues, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So the people in today's text hear this and they leave. But up until now, they didn't really seem to have a problem with Jesus. They liked that he was a miracle worker and a healer. They liked it when Jesus fed the crowd with only a few scraps of food. But now, Jesus just seems like a crazy man, telling them to eat his body and drink his blood. What kind of a person would say these things? Well, we probably have those same questions ourselves. And it goes even further than that, because we don't like Jesus to say things that make us uncomfortable. We don't want to believe in something that embarrasses us. We want a Jesus who affirms and welcomes everyone. We don't like to be controversial. But at the same time, we want to live our lives our own way. We don't need anyone else telling us what to do. Besides, it's my life. What does it matter what I do as long as I don't hurt anyone else? If we're honest with ourselves, though, what we really want is a Christianity without pain and suffering. We want a Christianity without having to bear our crosses. We want a Jesus who promises us health and wealth and success, and doesn't make outlandish claims like, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, don't get me wrong. We like Jesus. We like his healings and his miracles. We like that he preached about love and kindness. We like that he had compassion for the poor and the downtrodden. He always seemed to be rooting for the underdog. We like this kind of Jesus because he'll come along and he'll save us from any of our troubles. If we're sick, he'll heal us. If we're hungry, he'll feed us. If we're poor, he'll provide for us. If we're suffering, he'll rescue us. Well, this is the kind of Jesus that the crowd wanted. They wanted a nice Jesus, one who would care for anyone, one who never judged, who always had a kind word. They wanted a Jesus who didn't talk like the Jesus in today's text. They wanted a Jesus who wouldn't give ultimatums. They wanted a Jesus who wouldn't say, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, otherwise you have no life in you. They wanted a Jesus without his cross. Because a crossless Jesus is a Jesus without pain and suffering and death. A crossless Jesus is a Jesus without scars in his hands and feet. A crossless Jesus is a Jesus whose body isn't broken and whose blood is not poured out. And this idea of Jesus is true of us as well. We don't like to think of Jesus hanging on a cross there to pay for the world's sin. We don't like to think of Jesus hanging there, beaten and bruised, paying for our sin. We don't like to think about it because it's just too messy. We don't like to be reminded that the cross is where Jesus died. And so we clean it up and we make it look nice. But here's the trouble with this idea in today's text. In today's text, Jesus promises to give his flesh and blood as food and drink. But the only way that Jesus could give his flesh and blood for us to eat and drink is for him to die on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross was the only way that he could pay for the world's sin. It was the only way to pay for your sin. So repent. Repent of seeking hope in yourself and in your way of life. Repent of wanting a Christianity without the death of Jesus. Repent of wanting to live your life your own way. Our way is empty and lifeless. But Jesus promises us, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Now, these are hard words, and there were two responses to them in today's text. We've already discussed the response of those who no longer walked with Jesus, but now we need to look at the response of the 12 disciples. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is what faith in Jesus sounds like. Faith in Jesus clings to his words because it trusts that Jesus is telling the truth. Peter certainly didn't know how Jesus would fulfill this outlandish promise of eternal life, or how Jesus could give his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. But Peter trusted Jesus anyway. But lest you think this is some blind faith, simply trusting in Jesus because he makes these promises, that's not true. Jesus proved that he's trustworthy when he rose from the dead. Jesus' words are true because he died and rose again as he promised. Our certainty is not found in ourselves, but in the promises of a risen and living Lord Jesus. It is the promise of this Jesus that tells you that he gives you eternal life. You received that promise when you were baptized. You were reminded of that promise this morning in the words of absolution from your pastor. Jesus has promised you that you have eternal life and that he will raise you up on the last day. Jesus promised, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." That same flesh that Jesus called bread in today's text was raised up on the cross to give life to the world. His flesh is crucified, buried, dead, raised, ascended, and here for you at his table. In this supper, Jesus gives you his holy body and his innocent blood, true food and true drink. This bread and wine, which is his body and blood, gives us eternal life. Now, like Peter, do we fully comprehend what's happening here? Well, no. This side of heaven, we struggle to believe in the things that we can't see. These things cannot be measured or tested or examined, only believed. When we look at this altar, we see only bread and wine. But Jesus has promised that it is his body and blood that gives you eternal life. Today, your Lord feeds you with his words, with his body and blood, with the food of life eternal. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You have his promise. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God fill your hearts and minds through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.